of Bathrobs Piers Broadsides. It's March 9th, 2003. Stay with us.
The only problem for only one reason that present raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless, our problem, for only one reason, our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To all imperialism? Who owns the land? Will someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native American. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? Owns its own self. Maybe it's the Native America. The homeless are a problem for only one reason. My president raises a question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Your president raises a question, who owns the land? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is
home? And welcome again to Bathrobs Piers Broadsides, a twice-weekly show on civil rights on the streets in Santa Cruz, as well as, of course, in the current crisis of essentially a kind of presidential dictatorship or congressional cowardice or, who knows, solidarity behind a selected rather than elected leader who is defying the world, defying the UN, essentially. He's prepared to do that and ready to move in and invade another country that is not a threat to this country in any direct or clear or evidenced way, at least certainly not any more than any of the other countries out there, provoking a kind of response that will most likely unleash a greater threat We're talking about, of course, Bush's war in Iraq coming up. We're going to be discussing that. Before we do, however, I'm going to try to get in touch with some folks downtown who have been for the last almost, I guess, 44, 45 hours vigiling and protesting in a visible way against that war. And that's the Vigil Against Two Wars, which has been going on downtown since, gosh, Friday noon. And let's see if we got somebody on the line here.
Hello?
Hey. Have I reached the Vigil Against Two Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and who is this?
This is Chelsea.
Hey, Chelsea.
I am still here.
You are? Well, how long have you been there now?
So TJ. TJ's also still here. I've been here since, that's freaking me out, the radio's like right next to me. I've been here since about 6 last night, maybe? Yeah, I think 6.
Wow, so you've been going around the clock for about 14 hours,
uh-huh.
15 hours.
Yeah.
And you did the same thing last night, right?
Mm-hmm. And we've had people here who have been here since we started on Friday at noon.
Uh-huh. Where is the vigil?
People have been here the whole time. Cooper and Pacific.
Cooper and Pacific. That's near O'Neill's sports shop?
Yeah, and we've got coffee and food and tea out here. It's just for anybody. We've even offered it to people who come by here, like, maybe don't support our movement. You want some coffee? Anybody? Welcome to anybody.
You're the downtown street coffee distributor?
We're the downtown, well, you know, we're not just out here to distribute coffee, you know, we're out here against the two wars. The one in Santa Cruz against the poor, which is making city ordinances. Sorry, I'm kind of tired.
I hear you. You are pooped. I understand you have somebody there who actually has suffered recently from the sleeping ban. He had his vehicle towed. Is that right?
Where is he? What's his name again?
I don't.
Where is he?
He's funny. He really wanted us to call in, and now he's kind of walked off for a couple minutes.
Oh, gosh. Well, if he comes back, I know he mentioned briefly when I stopped by that he said his vehicle had been towed, and that essentially it concerned the crime of sleeping, and you've had a couple
of... I can tell the story.
Go ahead, please.
The thing is, this guy's, he's an old guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diabetic. He needs his medicine. He lives in his van, right? I guess he's had his license suspended, but, you know, it's his home. I guess some people were threatening him for where he was parked, saying that he ought to move his car, and so he really had no choice. He jumped in his car to just move it across the street, or down the street or something, and I guess they called it on him. The cops came and towed his van, his home.
Oh, for
so
a drive?
Took his home away with all of his medicine and everything in it, and so this guy has nothing now. He doesn't even have his medicine. As a diabetic, it's a pretty serious thing.
Driving on a suspended license after they forced him to drive, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then stealing his home and all of his things with it. It's kind of an awful thing, the position that people are stuck in here.
Now, last night, as I understand it, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, including the Armory, which will be soon closed, had only 160 spaces for 1,000 to 2,000 people. Did any people sleep at the vigil last night?
I'm not going to say any names, but, yeah, we had a lot of people sleeping here. It's kind of become a safe zone, and that's what we're out here for people who are in a position where they have no safe place to go without getting their things, their medicine, their lifeline just taken, ripped out from underneath them. I mean, we're trying to establish a safe zone for these people. And, you know, if we have to come out here on the street, right in the middle of everything and do it so people see what's going on, and that's exactly what we're out here to do.
Now, so far, how have the police treated the vigil?
they've been entirely supportive. I really have to, yeah, they're getting kind of fed up with the chalking. We still have people chalking out here. We're really trying to regulate it, though, because,
Chalking? You mean like chalking with erasable chalk on the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm, which is a crime in Santa Cruz. We've gotten over $800 in tickets among our group here, and the police have come by and said, you know, we're supportive of what you're trying to do here, trying to promote peace, whatnot, but if you keep up the chalking, we're going to shut you down.
Oh, really?
So we've been trying to regulate the chalking. just because, you know, we don't want them to shut us down. We want to keep on going here. We think that this law against talking is a little out of control. We don't exactly support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not your fault if they chalk. You know, although I understand some of that chalk has come from the table. The table that you're where you're at, but
We also have a peace scroll out here. We have chalk, crowns, markers.
A peace scroll,
and you know we aren't stopping people from taking anything. Everything we have out here is for the community to share. If they want to use our chalk, just draw it on the sidewalk. We aren't regulating what people are doing. We are recommending that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you know.
Now, I know you're real tired, but when I came by last night, you mentioned to me that there's an event that's going to be happening today, and I guess two events, one at 11 o'clock at the town clock, and then one, I guess, later this afternoon at San Lorenzo Park.
I don't know too much about the one at the town clock, but I believe they have breakfast there.
There's a breakfast at Loudon Nelson Center every Sunday at 11. The Potter's Hand puts it on. But I think the town clock is something about goddesses getting together.
I'm just getting confused.
Yeah, no, you're tired. You're pooped.
I have it right here, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's a festival with singers and dancers and music, it looks like.
And when is that?
Just today at 11 at the town clock.
Uh-huh.
We've also got another one, Affinity Group. It's just kind of a direct action training kind of workshop and stuff. With a little picnic. San Lorenzo Park at noon at the Duck Pond.
Huh.
People bring food and stuff would be nice, I'm sure.
And all this is on your table, I guess. And anybody who wants to lead literature can do that, is that right?
Yeah. Taking everything.
You sound like you better hit the sack there, kiddo. I know that Olivia has also been a big mainstay of this vigil. Is she there to do any talking?
Olivia has been our lifeline here. I don't know if I would even be out here still. If it wasn't for Olivia, I'd be dropping by now, but yeah.
Well, I know we heard from Olivia like last week or the week before.
Right.
Olivia? Hello?
You want to talk?
Hello?
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Olivia.
How's it going?
We're getting a lot of echo, but
I'm trying
to
walk away. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
So
I had to walk away. Sorry.
I know that you are kind of the backbone, or certainly I think you're the backbone, one of the backbones.
Well, no, Chelsea, there's a lot of us. We're all part of this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're all connected. We're all holding it all together. None of us would be here without the other, so, including yourself. Now, come on, give yourself some credit.
Hey, I'm the greatest. I know that. So you've been down there a lot, and I know you brought some food down this morning. Is that what's happening, or?
Yeah, I just I had to get some downtime. My body sort of took over and said it's nap time. But anyway, I'm back today, trying to get some of the kids that have been here since like 40 hours, over 40 hours, trying to get them to go home and rest for a while. You know, because if we're going to make it through the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm repeating words of wisdom I got from them. So it's all good. I think we have the momentum going. We're getting a lot of support from local people. Food is, we have not ran out of food. We've purchased some, but it seems like we have not ran out. Just when we think we're about out, somebody will come, and a lot of people have outreach. We've had support, not in our name, just, they support us with a flag, and been coming. Joe from Not In Our Name has been here.
That's one way to know where you are, because you got this big blue earth flag down there at Cooper and Pacific, right?
And that's really, besides being greatly inspirational, that's caught people's attention. People have stopped where they might not have. I mean, I think we just are tapping in different people, and Joe has been here. He brought his coffee, even homemade bread last night for the kids. And so I feel like it's community effort, and we're getting a lot of support. I mean, you know, there's a few that, you know, but we got to love them a lot. And generally 99.8, I feel, is really being supportive and, you know, are showing a lot of support and keeping us going.
Well, I know, even those who seem to don't agree. Hello?
I'm in the traffic now. Okay, go ahead.
Even those who don't totally agree with the vigil, I think, are glad to have someone to argue with.
We've had some mind-blowing experiences just recently. Friday, we had this amazing conversation with a Marine. At first, he came by and kind of felt offended. And so that's, I'm actually working on a poster today just to show some support, but I haven't quite got it together yet. But he came up and kind of shook his head, and he started to walk off, and I said, oh, can we talk? You know, I think we can learn, you know, hopefully you can educate us. There's a lot of questions we have. And I also wanted to let him know I lost a brother in Vietnam, and that I might not agree with him going over there, but I support him. And I told him for what reasons, you know. And so we had an amazing growth experience, a conversation. And, you know, here he didn't even want to talk with us. He spoke to several of us and answered questions, and we ended with, well, we agreed to disagree, but we fight the right for any of us to have our speech, and that I asked if I could even pray for him, because I knew he was going back, and I told him, besides the obvious, that it's not, you know, I didn't agree with the war, but that I did have the biggest problem I had with him walking back in there, that our government would send him over there. If he survives the bombs, he will come back dying of cancer from all the radioactive
uranium depleted weapons.
Yes, uh-huh. Laying around. So his tear fell down his cheek just then, and I said, can I hug you? And we prayed.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like, besides connecting with people, I think it's important. And we also had an experience when I was tabling on, I believe it was Wednesday, with the Air Force. Military man, I think he was a sergeant, and we had a similar thing. He was a little more verbal, but he was open to talk to us, and again, educated in a lot of things we weren't clear on, and it's beautiful. So I feel like we're getting message out, and we're touching base with the warriors that are going out there.
Hmm. Well, I know you also, you have a radio at the table, so anybody who wants to hear this fine show on Free Radio Santa Cruz can do that down at Cooper and Pacific across from the Cinema 9. Is that true?
Yes, yes. I feel like I think we're trying to be here on several fronts. I think mainly to bring attention to our fight against the war on our home front and abroad. But more importantly, I think, as my grandmother would tell me, and she was an elder in the Southern Ute Nation, was that the only hope that we have is education, to educate ourselves. Because the only time we fear and want to, you know, it's like fight or flight, or we want to destroy what we don't understand and we're threatened by. But if we get educated, and that's the only way we have a chance to survive or to evolve as human beings.
So you spent some time getting ready to prepare this vigil and signing people up, but mostly the vigil, though, some folks who've signed up have come down, has been folks who are sort of, who are on the street already and who've just decided that this is something good to support, even though they risk being targeted by police, I guess. Huh?
Yes, in fact, TJ's been here. I think he finally told me, Mom, I've made it to 40 hours, and I just, my body just took over and I slept. I think he was on a mission, and he, just him being here, he's still here, bless his heart, but he said, Mom, I made it to 40 hours, and his body just took over, and he said he took a nap, but I've been worried about that one. But they're warriors, you know, and he's been tabling with me all week before, and standing out there all day with honk for peace, and just talking to people, and he's also been, has a following now. He's brought a lot of kids on. I mean, I looked out the first night, and there must have been 12 homeless kids just soaring, you know. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening.
What do you do when somebody comes by? I know that at one point somebody threw some water at the vigil, but that has been kind of infrequent, right?
It's been infrequent. In some ways, it's gotten more intense. It hasn't been it's been infrequent, but the intensity of it seems to, the closer we're getting to, you know, well, not that we ever stopped bombing, but you know what I mean. Declared,
closer we're getting to war, yeah.
Yeah, declared, quote-unquote, war.
Right, declared war.
It's getting to be more intense. So we actually, yesterday, it seemed like there was a couple of people that continue to come back and walk through and cursing, and we just threw love at them. And the kids, I mean, you know, the kids are feeling weary. I mean, we're talking you know, after a 24-hour period, and then we were tabling before then. So actually, the momentum's worked out. And I think that I did hear one of them step and say something negative back, and I just kind of said, well, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't have a tinge of that. But I think the way we're going to gain ground and get our message across is to fight it back with love, more love, tough love, that's what we did. And it was amazing what came out of that. Some guy came out and looked like he was just coming for me in the middle of the road on Friday night, parked right in front of the theater, Santa Cruz 9, Cinema 9, got off his truck and just seemed like he was charging towards me, and something about not being patriotic. And I said, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here, because I can't stand by and have our children being massacred over there, or our people, or our relations over there being massacred, and that's why I'm here. And I just bowed down to him, and he was like very aggressive. He came within a few minutes, inches of me, and I just bowed down to him. I said, I respect, I honor your feelings, and as soon as I bowed down to him, he just stopped in his tracks, and he didn't say another word, and he just became silent and got in his car. So there is power in killing them with kindness, and I think, I don't know, this is how I was taught to deal with things, so.
Well, I guess I hear you, and I respect that. On the other hand, I found myself wondering, because I know Bush wants the whole Middle East and the whole world to bow down to him, and I guess if everybody did, he wouldn't have to invade them. He could just occupy.
When I say bow down, I'm not saying we're not bowing down to war. We're not bowing down
for
him to get blood on our hands and the blood of other people on our hands in his name. You know what I mean? That's not what we're doing.
Right, and I also I hear you. And I also think it's true that you know, Bush is a powerful he has weapons at his disposal. He's a man in a position of power. Other individuals who are angry about this, you know, are just people like us who are, I think, misled by what's being said to them in the media and what's being said, what we hear all the time. So I think your approach is great, and I think it touches people. They understand that, you know, they are not the enemy, we are not the enemy. The enemy are is war and the politicians who exploit this whole thing.
No, exactly. And I've mellowed with age. I had my radical days, and I spent some time. I have two children in both pregnancies. I spent some time in jail and Rocky Flats during the Vietnam War, even though I lost a brother there. And I was blessed enough to resolve that before he passed, and had money and had resources to get him into Canada. And he refused, so then but we at least were able to agree to disagree, and I did have some time before he passed, but on his third trip in, he passed on, so it does touch home, because I've had some of the soldiers say, well, I had a father, or I had a brother die in Vietnam, and I said, I lost my brother, and we were, you know, he was more like a father figure to me. And so I can relate, and I honor that. I honor our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's atrocious that we had an illegal war. They come back, and they're throwaways,
mm-hmm.
and they're still on the street. You know, I can keep my stance, yet I can honor our elders and our warriors that came before us. You know, I think that there's lies that we're getting on the TV and through media and through the government is like conquer and divide, and it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think the tides are turning, and, you know, it's just evident to me.
You know, I'm wondering, you are, you know, a mainstay of the vigil, and the folks there have been there all night. Do you need more people to come down in the days ahead at that vigil?
Yes, where my concern is, I think basically we had on paper an impressive amount of people, but actually the people that have actually... the handful that actually signed up have showed up, and they have done more than their share, and this is what I'm worried about. We have a homeless young man, TJ, that has been like 40 hours straight, and he's still here. He just dozed off, and he needs some rest, and we have Chelsea that, you know, she's a student, and I know her homework is piled up, yet she's talking about going home and have a nap, come back and try to feed some people. So I feel like we need to support that, their energy, their spirit, even whether it's only a couple hours, just to support them, their diligence, because we need them for the long run. We're trying to go for the long run, so anybody out there that has whatever time they can give us is important, and we could use it. Even if they just come to hand out flyers, come and support. We have a lot. We have a scroll going with messages of, you know, there, we have anything from poetry on them to families from the Middle East coming. I've had several families I met from the Middle East signing with their kids messages to us in gratitude for what we're doing. Excuse me, I'm a little overwhelmed, but it's a good thing.
Sure.
So, and we're also going to be doing a memorial service, and I'm not quite sure when. I believe that it looks like it may happen tonight, maybe early evening. And just
I know,
to
know
address,
a homeless infant actually died.
3 months,
in.
Not quite 3 months old. We lost.
That was last week, and that was Shannon's child, as I understand it.
Shannon's daughter, Lillian, and I was trying to write something. I write poetry, and it's sort of like therapy for me, and I was stuck. And it just felt like a wound. Finally, I got to the point last night that someone left me a note on my door, and it said, "Do you know Bush's household living quarters is 50,000 square foot?" And then I thought of little Lillian passing away, and I had to try and imagine how many feet were in her car where her family lived with two children. I think she had two siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And that just hit home. You know, it hit home, and it shouldn't happen. And her life shouldn't be in vain. Her life shouldn't have been in vain. And I think, if nothing else, people will hear this and not stand for it anymore. It's just appalling that this happens in this county. Or anywhere in the world,
well,
that a child should suffer.
You know, if the city makes it illegal for people to sleep at night and cover up with blankets and to use public spaces except for very, very limited parts of the sidewalk, makes it illegal for people to display their artwork downtown, if they make it illegal for them to leave their property, I guess you on one occasion had to go back to the police station property in the course of 3 hours.
Four times, and I think the fourth time I almost passed out in the police department because of my health issues. I had heat sensitive, and I just sort of let myself fall to the floor because I was on the phone when they were trying to give me the runaround, and I was fine. I just know what I need to do when I get like that. I either, you know, have to sit on the floor or I pass out. Mm-hmm. And they came out and kind of scared them, and I just said, well, you know, if you got me out here the fourth time, could I have a cup of tea or water? You know, I might as well be comfortable since I'm going to be hanging out here a lot today.
And you had to walk 7 or 8 blocks each time.
Yes.
To and from the police station from downtown to pick up property that the police knew was yours, even though they kept taking it because you'd walked away from it briefly, or?
Well, it was pretty obvious to me. I mean, my kids, I'm a little naive, but this was pretty obvious to me. 4 times, because they had been watching me, and this was just after I had started taking badge numbers and officer's name because they were harassing the kids, including my son. And that's when this started, like right after a few incidents, they started doing that. And the thing is, all 4 times, there were friends that had their hand on it, literally had their hand on my cart, so that they didn't have an excuse that it was left unattended. And what they were told was, can you tell me what's in there? Is it yours? Then you can tell me what's in there. If you can't, it's not yours. It's going to the police department. So you can tell her, this is quoting them, you can tell her she could go down to the police department and pick it up. And the first 2 times it happened, they said that they sent me down there, and I was standing while a police officer called to see if my stuff was there. I got down there, and then they didn't have any idea what I was talking about. So it wasn't just a matter of having to go pick up my stuff. It was the whole... you know, they were messing with me, but I was ready for it. I mean, I thought, well, if I'm going to almost pass out in here, can I have a cup of tea? And, you know, I was making myself comfortable because I thought, well...
Imagine what would happen if some private person did this regularly to some other private person. What that would mean. That is a form of theft and harassment.
Well, not just
that.
I feel like because of my spiritual convictions and where I'm at in life, I've been to the point where it was all I could do to leave the house, and there was times I couldn't. And there's a lot of us that have filed through the cracks with mental health and physical issues and both. And so, this is like major. I mean, it's not just an inconvenience. It is invasion of privacy because they go through everything. I still am missing some journals and just feeling like a police state, you know? And here I'm supposed to be in a free country, having my liberties, and I'm like, yet my children are on the street right now, and they're getting ticketed for leaning, for sitting too long, for, oh, don't they dare not take a nap on the sunny bench. That's just, you know, unlawful. And yet they're ticketed for what they call spanking, you know, spare changing, and not even aggressively, just these are homeless kids. Where else are they going to get the money to pay these ridiculous tickets, citations? I think it's 105 for the chalking, 105 for, one of the boys got 10 tickets in one day because their skateboard was leaning against like a bench, and he was right there, leaning against a telephone pole, leaning against a tree, and he was right there. You know, it's
the irony is there's no law against leaning, and so they're giving them, not only are they giving harassment tickets, but they're giving false harassment tickets. And, you know, what's really interesting is that at the vigil, the only tickets that have been given out, as far as I understand it, have been for chalking, I guess two of those because of the hot dog employee around the corner doesn't like your messages, and then three because Sergeant Jack McPhillips, who I talked to yesterday, apparently felt obliged to give tickets because he came upon the people in the act of chalking, though why that should make any difference when this law hasn't been used for 40 years until about a year ago downtown, and there isn't even a law against chalking, it's a law against defacing the sidewalk, which isn't, you know, erasable chalk sold across the street in Palace Arts Stationery does not deface the sidewalk. And if you we noticed when people came to clean it up, it takes all of, what, 30 seconds or less? I mean, you can clean it up with a brush and water.
I had 1 liter bottle, and I think because some things were written that we didn't write. You know what I'm saying? There were some things that, you know, I mean, we had a lot of people coming through here, and so we felt like we were taking responsibility for our area. So there was things written that weren't, like, things directed at O'Neill, like corporate whores, and we didn't agree with that, and that was in our writing. So the kids took the bottle. In fact, two of the kids, homeless kids and myself, somebody tagged the wall, like a pillar near us, and we scrubbed that clean. And yet they turned around and ticketed, 2 days I think they ticketed all the kids. I think I lost track. I think my last count was 4. I should have been ticketed. I actually was drawing in front of the officer, so now we have a new issue. It's derelict of...
selective enforcement.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because I had the chalk in hand, and I thought he just looking at me like, oh, no, don't go there. And I said, well, I need to step up, and I'm mom on the street, and I have to set an example. Here's the chalk. There's my writing. And I know they saw me because I had my back to them. Well, I saw them. I turned around to bend down and chalk, and they walked up, and I handed it to them, and I said, well, you know, I'm taking responsibility, you know, because the kids look up to me, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, take responsibility for it, and I couldn't get them to do their job.
It's harassment, and it's interesting that the harassment that you were suffering because of your property and that people were suffering for sleeping and suffer in other parts of town has not happened as much at the vigil. Actually, it hasn't happened at all, just the chalking harassment.
Exactly.
And I think that's because you are together, you are standing up, and they are aware that if they start messing with you, they'll get a lot of publicity on them very quickly. That's one thing I'm thinking of. There may also be some sympathies for, you know, people standing up and protesting the war. Even in the police department, though, I suspect, you know, that it's largely a Republican pro-Bush enclave, although I have no, you know, kind of inner pipeline.
Well, you know, the fact
there.
That we've been able to touch base with, we have touched base with firefighters, police, people of all walks of life, but the more impressive that I feel like has been a big positive of all this is the military. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had policemen that I recognize that are policemen on the street in regular clothes actually stopping and telling me that they appreciate what we're doing. They don't agree with the chalking and that's a nuisance, but that they do appreciate what we're doing and that we're acting responsible, we're cleaning up after ourselves. And we had to make a compromise Friday night because of the people that have apartments up here and the honking on the corner. And they came down and we talked because I appreciated that they didn't call the police and give us a chance as citizens to work this out. So we sat down with the kids, the homeless kids that were doing most of walking with signs saying honk for peace, and we just came to the conclusion that they were okay with that happening till 10. So we stopped at 10, and very peacefully and very volunteer, the kids were in good spirit. So, you know, we can have our peace, yet we're doing our best not to, you know, I mean, we did not want an outdoor welcome on the mall, especially when you consider there's a lot of people in apartments on this, you know, avenue.
Sounds like they're honking right now, huh?
Yeah.
Honking for peace. Well, I know you also came to a special agreement with O'Neill's, that there would be a kind of a chalk-free zone in front of their door.
Yes. I guess if I had to visualize it, it's like a dime, like a half, like a V in front of their walkway door. We've agreed to respect that area, not to chalk at all, and not to tag the walls. And we literally, the kids and I, have cleaned since we started. Probably two sides of the wall were tagged by none of us. I don't know where we, you know, it's been a long run, so I can't watch it 24 hours, but we are keeping village vigilant because we didn't want to be, since we're here, we're taking responsibility for what we're doing, and other people have tagged it. We didn't go there, but we cleaned it up.
We're talking with Olivia Brown Rabbit of the 24-hour, around-the-clock vigil against two wars down at Cooper and Pacific in downtown Santa Cruz across from the Cinema 9 Theater. What can people do to get involved? I mean, should they just come down? Should they call numbers? Should they do both? Should they go to bed? What should they do?
Well, right now we could use the show of support, physical bodies down here in support, because we have TJ, for example, has been on board. He's been tabling with me to get the momentum up for this, and he's been here. He just hit his 40-hour mark and said, Mom, I made it 40 hours. Oh, and 4 a.m. he hit his 40-hour mark, and he finally said he passed, you know, took a nap. But these are the kind of dedications we have. Chelsea, I don't think, has gone more than a few hours. She's a full-time student and has been here from inception.
You mentioned that. Should people just come down, or should they call, or?
Well, they can come down, or actually they can call my voicemail, Mom, at 457-9754, extension 1380.
Mm-hmm.
My home number is 465-9522, and we'll be here for the duration, so they can just show up and say, okay, I can be here at a certain time.
What's your extension again on the voicemail, Olivia?
1380.
I'm going to repeat that number several times during this show, which goes on till 1 o'clock. I know that, will you be at the meal for the Loudon Nelson Center meal at 11 o'clock, which is usually a pretty tasty meal and free?
Well,
are you going to be down at the vigil?
Well, I was planning to, but the people we have on here have been on, this is their second night, so unless I can get some people to show up pretty quick to relieve me.
So come on down to Cooper and Pacific and help relieve Olivia so she can go get breakfast. And also, what are the times of night when people are, or day when people are most needed in the next couple of days?
Well, actually, the time we're having trouble hardest to fill is during the night, like the wee hours, like midnight to like 7-8 o'clock in the morning is when we are our numbers are low. And you know, like I said, the two people that have been, I was here the first night, and I just for me able to continue, I had to go home and get some rest. But we've had Chelsea and TJ, for example, have been here since day one.
Yep.
And they helped table the week before that, so they're pretty burned out, but they're here.
Well,
and I feel like, go ahead.
Last night you had, when I came down about I did a 2 to 4 hour kind of hangout down there and so forth, and you had about 15 people. I guess people are beginning to respond, but
yeah, exactly.
It's still
well, those that we did get numbers up, but as far as core people that can like say they can be here in case we've been, you know, like I said, we haven't been hassled by the police. The chalking got a little out of hand, but we got it in check. And but as far as the vigil, they've been really responsive. We're trying to keep it clean and organized and keep it peaceful. And they don't seem to be mind, but at least they haven't expressed that.
That's good. So
that's a good thing.
We're talking to Olivia Brown Rabbit down at the vigil against two wars, and that's down at Cooper and Pacific. If people want to come on down, they can. I also understand that it's good to have a vehicle at night. I guess you're looking for people to park their vehicles nearby. I'm kind of hoping that eventually this will expand so that people who are homeless who now face a new law coming up this Tuesday at City Council, which is ultimately going to make it illegal to park your vehicle in large sections of town without an expensive parking permit. And if you do, then you won't even have to use the sleeping van. They'll just come after you and boot your vehicle after giving you three or more tickets. So I'm just thinking that it'd be good for you to have somebody at the vigil with a vehicle at night if anybody wants to come on down and park near maybe on Cooper Street. And also homeless people who sleep in their vehicles might want to come down. And if they think they're risking harassment where they are, then maybe they should come down and have some witnesses when the police come around and start harassing them.
I think that's real crucial. I think that's just as important as having people be here and visible and supportive, because we lost Lillian. And I'm sorry.
That's all right. Lillian was a three-month-old infant who died. They spent a night in a motel, but the whole sequence was that she had been living in a vehicle with her mom and her mom's two other children, right?
Yes, and when they confiscate somebody's vehicle, it's not us. The few of us that are blessed with homes, if they confiscate your vehicle, it's an inconvenience. But when you're talking about getting your home confiscated, somewhere you lay your head at night, you know, you talk about the homeless just takes on a new meaning, and it's unjust and it's not right. So I really feel strong that for a lot of reasons, mainly to show support that, you know, they're confiscating our homes, we're being ticketed, and, you know, they take our car, they take our home. And I think, and also support to people that are out here all night. I myself was blessed to have someone Friday night with a vehicle, so I was able to, about through 2 o'clock, been able to get warm for about an hour and take a little nap. So that's a big support issue. Besides a show of support, it also was a comfort to me, since I had to spend a cold night. And it feels like December, not March. You know, this is a cold month we're having.
Cold and windy.
This is what's conducive. I've been in the area a long time, and this is more conducive of December weather. We had a warm December, mm-hmm. and it's like, this is December weather. It's very cold and damp. And so I think if you have a car and you're moved to come and support us, I think a lot of key people here, they're here all night. And most of us don't have a car, so it would be really nice for people to extend that. If you can't come out and be at the table or hand out leaflets, that you can be here and support and say, hey, Lynn, you know, you want to come sit in the car and take a nap. Just to one person here would be amazing, would be a really supportive thing and loving thing to do.
Yeah, so this is on Cooper Street. There are a number of parking places. And also, I guess people should know that there are laws passed by the Riley Porter City Council, the Riley Kennedy City Council. Porter was instrumental in getting these laws passed, too. In fact, they were passed unanimously, that make it illegal to have a table for more than 1 hour in any particular place. Yet your table has been there for almost 48 hours now. So the police
may
try to use this blatant, revision, excision, slicing and dicing of the First Amendment to go after you at any time, and having cars nearby to which your table could be moved into would be a way to help protect the vigil. So people should be aware of that. And I want to give some people a chance to call in who may have some thoughts on this. And Olivia, if anything happens at the vigil and you have access to a phone, please give me a call down here at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's the number to call. If you want to call this show, which goes till 1 o'clock. Also, if you want to help with the vigil, but you don't quite know what to do, or you have a variety of times you can come down, you want some guidance from Olivia or from Chelsea or from other people, myself perhaps, other people are helping with the vigil, you can give a call to Olivia at 457-9754, extension 1380, or you can try to reach her at home at may I give your number out at home?
Yes.
465-9522. And if you don't remember these numbers, call the
hospital. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a good idea, too, to go down and actually get to Cooper and Pacific right across from the Cinema 9 and talk to folks and sign up and do some drawing on the peace scroll and so forth and just hang out. But you can also leave a message on the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, which is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and I will get back to you probably within 3 or 4 hours. I check it pretty regularly. And try to hook you up with Olivia. And I believe your number may be on the Huff line, Olivia. I think either that or...
Yeah, I'm under Mom.
Or Chelsea's number may be on.
Yeah.
So thank you for...
Well, bless you for giving us this time. It's crucial in a voice. And we appreciate all your efforts. And wouldn't be here if we didn't have your support.
Hey, you're the one. Well, I think we're all in this. And I keep thinking, in spite of all the media, it's inevitable that there's still a way to stop this war. And the way to stop it is to get out and do something about it like you're doing. So.
And I feel like I've mentioned a lot of things, good things, but I think one of the biggest ones that's universal from the military, especially from people that disagree with us, that I've had people come up and crying. I'm scared. I don't understand this. And embracing each other and having intelligent conversations. And it's just amazing how healing that is. I was stuck at home for a month ill, must be short, not too long ago. And, you know,
might well be able to do. You're listening to us at www.microradio.net/FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you want to help out Free Radio, well, I'll tell you about that in a moment. We got an incoming call here. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to say that the World paper that comes out, the People's Weekly World, of February 22nd was a great issue concerning the mobilization around the planet to stop the war, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think acting locally is very important because it shows, it's almost like live theater, you know, when people see there's activity going on, it puts in their consciousness the possibility that they can envision it happening other places too.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I just wanted to call up to say that I think the war is like a thing about wealth. It's not about, you know, caring about people's health. Because when you drop bombs, it kills people,
mm-hmm.
and it destroys buildings, which include people.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that from September 11th. So I think the idea is to remember what happened to us. We don't want to visit to other people, because that's what wisdom's all about. When you learn something, you don't want to pass on something that you realize is not a positive act. So that's how you stop war.
Yeah, certainly not to the people who aren't responsible, or, you know, for the, you know, 9/11 bombings, and certainly not if it's going to increase the whole level of violence, divide you from your allies, and set up a situation that's worse than before. I mean, even if you're, you know, a politician looking at this, it just
exactly.
seems
so
stupid.
It's like wisdom, you know. I think the most amazing thing is, even though right now this is like another potential war possibility, this has been going on for thousands of years. So it's like a crucial time in a way, although it's always crucial, that we can actually turn around the history pattern to something new. In other words, we can transform what has been to something new. So I just want to say, keep up the good work. I always like your show, and acting in locally Santa Cruz makes a big difference.
Hey, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, you know, agree with you, caller. And I'm about to actually play for you some folks who are not acting locally, but are acting like they're acting locally. The Santa Cruz City Council, which has a meeting in 2 days for all you folks out there, including the folks down at the Vigil, the Vigil Against Two Wars at Cooper and Pacific. Hey. The City Council meets at 3 o'clock and at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, March 11th. That's in 2 days. The evening session is the session that allows folks to talk for 3 minutes on a subject of their choosing for a total of half an hour, although they kick the people who have spoken the 2 weeks before to the back of the line and usually don't extend the oral communication because they aren't really interested in what you have to say, and even if it's on agenda items. And that's another thing. You have to talk about something that is not being discussed somewhere else in the meeting. So if by some strange, freaky chance they're actually going to talk about something relevant, like something that has to do with poor people, and they are, in fact, talking about the permit parking, that's coming up on the Tuesday agenda. And I believe that's on the evening agenda, but I'm going to have to double-check that, and I'll give you the information a little bit later in the show on that. But there's nothing on the war that I'm aware of, nothing significant on the war. I didn't see anything on the agenda, and I could be wrong about that, but that was my first look at the agenda on Friday. I didn't see anything on the agenda about the war. And the reason this is significant is that Emily Riley had promised, that's our mayor, she had promised to have a second town hall meeting on the war
on March 19th. That would have been in a week. Of course, probably it'll be after Bush begins his devastating shock and awe operation, which involves dropping more bombs on Baghdad than has been dropped, what, in the, was it during the entire last Iraqi war? Or some huge amount of weaponry on a city of, what, 4 to 5 million people? It kind of boggles the mind. You know, I mean, imagine if Santa Cruz were about to be bombed with bombs. It's something I haven't even thought about. I mean, I can, you know, I babble about it freely on the radio, but I don't really face it. But that's what's happening in the Middle East in order to, quote, force Saddam Hussein to disarm. You know, it's okay if the United States runs around selling all these weapons or giving them to people like Saddam Hussein, but then as a pretext to take over the Middle East and establish a position of power there, they want to then use the presence of those weapons, even when they are being destroyed every day by Saddam Hussein under UN supervision, even though every major power in the world opposes this action, except for Britain, and probably most of the minor powers in the world as well, and no neighbor has asked for this. In fact, they don't want it. Turkey, by 3 votes, said no troops, and now, of course, it looks like the military in Turkey is going to turn that around, but still, the people, 94%, say the polls don't want war, don't want U.S. troops marching in and invading, and you still have this going forward because it is a political decision based on a political agenda which ignores the costs of human life. It even ignores the real issues. So the so-called real issues like disarmament, you know, getting people to, you don't get people to disarm by telling them that you're going to attack them with nuclear weapons if they respond. Let me put it this way. You don't get people to disarm if you show that you're going to go after the weakest. North Korea, you know, starts rebuilding its nuclear arsenal, or building up its nuclear arsenal, or reactivating its nuclear power plant. And the U.S. is, of course, it's stepping up the tension over there, too, but it talks about negotiation with these people. So Bush is saying, we'll negotiate with you if you have nuclear weapons, but if you don't, we'll just, you know, threaten to bomb the shit out of you and move in to get rid of some old chemical weapons that we gave you back in the 80s. It's pretty bizarre. But it's not really bizarre. It's pretty clear. The U.S. government, a clique and a faction in the U.S. government, wants control over the Middle East. And an interesting article I read recently suggested that what this will do is this will destabilize Saudi Arabia. There'll be some fundamentalist group that'll come to power as a consequence in Saudi Arabia around this. And this will be the excuse for the U.S. to then intervene in Saudi Arabia, which has, of course, the lion's share of the oil in the Middle East. So then they'll have both Iraq and Saudi Arabia under their thumb. I think that may be the who knows what, you know, actually is likely to happen, but it was an interesting theory. I'm going to be reading some articles in today's show from Counterpunch, which is a website as well as a biweekly publication by Alexander Coburn, or Cockburn, depending on how you pronounce it. Is a interesting and stimulating commentator. I've read him for years. He also appears in the Anderson Valley Advertiser and the Nation magazine, and occasionally in some other publications. And lots of interesting stuff. They even publish local people. Becky Johnson from Santa Cruz here, the activist who goes to trial next week for chalking on the sidewalk. That's on March 14th, by the way, for all you folks that want to check that out. That's on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. In Department 1, she's being accused of drawing lines on the sidewalk that showed the new 14-foot forbidden zones last July that the city council maps inaccurately presented. So the people didn't really know what was going on. She wanted to show them. And Officer Phelps came along and gave her a $162 ticket. And when she offered to wash it away and say, do you want it cleaned up? He said he couldn't care less. So it's clearly a form of political harassment and discrimination, which I can assure you is going to get much, much worse as if Bush has his way, and people's voices are not loud enough to stop this war. So get out there, get to the town clock at 11 o'clock where the goddesses are having their celebration. Get to the table any time of the day or night and go down there with a vehicle and help them out there at Cooper and Pacific, the vigil against two wars. And then, of course, there's this thing this afternoon that Chelsea was talking about, workshops, affinity group, and direct action fair. We are the power. Our world is our weapon. 12 noon, Sunday, March It's at San Lorenzo Park Duck Pond. The schedule of the workshops they're having, 12 to 1, introduction, picnic, and milling, networking, 1 to 150, affinity group structure and organization. Those are groups you kind of get together with the people you trust to decide on peaceful, nonviolent actions you're going to be taking to stop the war. 2 to 225, security culture. Security culture, the first duty of a revolutionary is to get away with it, according to Abby Hoffman. This workshop will focus on how to get away with it without destroying your community ties, how to defend against state surveillance and subversion of your political activities. Then 2:30 to 3:20, again at this Affinity Group Direct Action Fair at San Lorenzo Park Duck Pond today, is legal information. This workshop will focus on what to do if you fail to follow Abby's dictum, Abby Hoffman, above, and get apprehended by the police, including what to say in detention, what not to say, your legal rights, and more. It includes role-playing. That should be fun. Cop Watch up in Berkeley always has a great role-playing session. It does every training it does. Hopefully we can get them down here, but this could well be, I'm due to leave town. Maybe I'll have to delay my departure. Messaging and media is 3:30 to 3:55 at this fair, and that means if, when, and how to get your message out through independent or mainstream media. And then you also are going to have different things happening at the same time from 4 o'clock until the end of the fair. Radio and internet communication, action medical training, strategic nonviolence training, and surviving radical demonstrations. Radio and internet communications is securely and effectively planning and coordinating action within your affinity group with the help of radio and internet communications. Action medical training is how to deal with injuries, obviously, and ensure well-being while on the streets, including dealing with chemical agents used by law enforcement and trauma from police batons, rubber bullets, etc. Strategic nonviolence training, how to deal with mass arrest scenarios, whether planned or not, during nonviolent direct actions, and surviving militant demonstrations, more militant or confrontational tactics for dealing with police lines, taking and holding public space, escaping injury and arrest. This sounds like a very interesting afternoon. So, check it out. That's at San Lorenzo Park. Starts at noon. You can, you know, first go grab a bite to eat at the Loudon Nelson Center. Best meal, there's a meal at 3 o'clock that's pretty good, too, by the same group, the Potter's Hand, a church group out of Watsonville with Pastor Dennis Adams. But you get your, I guess you get your pancakes and you get your bacon and, I mean, all kinds of stuff you don't normally get in the charity meals. This is it's a good meal, at least by all reports. I've never had it myself, but I've heard about it repeatedly. That's at Loudon Nelson at 11, or you can go, if you've got a full belly already, check out the Goddesses at the town clock at 11. In the meantime, you know, think about the vigil against two wars, and then head off for the Affinity Group workshop and direct action fair that goes on all afternoon at San Lorenzo Park. And it's really quite a day that we're going to need all the preparation we can considering what's coming down in our heads. It's possible Bush, you know, may be blustering and just, you know, trying to convince everybody and mobilize public support in order to convince a clique within the government that he feels he needs to persuade in order to make the final jump off into this mass holocaust that he is planning and he has set up with 250,000 troops in the Middle East. That could be. But, in other words, it could be that there is a chance to draw back. But, of course, all the media is saying, and I'm influenced by the media, and the way it looks from his public statements and his press conference on Friday, is he is going ahead with this madness, that he is not deterrable, that he is determined to get the weapons of mass destruction. And we are going to have regime change, and I will protect the American people, and we're hearing all this sort of thing on the radio. And it's very scary, very, very scary indeed. If you have any thoughts on this, of course, you're welcome to call in. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. There's also, of course, a major protest coming up in a week, although that may be after the fact or after the war, and, of course, all the protests, I will hope, will be escalating after the war breaks out. If it does, we hope that these protests will stop the war from breaking out. But I look at the news media, and I'll tell you, I am not encouraged, not just by what the president is doing, but by what the news media is doing. As I drove over here, I was listening to NPR, National Punk Radio, National Poltroon Radio, call it what you will. They were in their news summary of the week. They gave us Bush. They gave us They gave us Cheney. They gave us another administration supporter. They gave us Hans Blix talking about the fact that the U.S. is not, I mean, the Iraq is not disarmed completely. And then they gave a statement from France that France believes in a different way than war. In other words, it was weighted 3-1 in favor of the administration when they because of the selected quote from Blix. And then they talked briefly, oh, then we had some anti-war protests, didn't mention where it was, and then it was zip off to Kuwaiti City to talk about all the military vehicles there. And how do the people feel about those military vehicles? Oh, there are not many vehicles there, Joe. They're actually off on the outskirts. Things are going along as well, and they're proceeding as normal and so forth. So it's the national media is the whore in tow, as I think we all know. And boy, does it show. Ho, ho, ho. Get a little poetic every so often, forgive me. Again, if you want to stop my poetry and interrupt it with your own thoughts, 427-3772. I mentioned the Santa Cruz City Council, or the shitty council, as I sometimes call it, because there's such a stench coming out of it at times. It's the stench of hypocrisy. It's the stench of indifference to real issues here in Santa Cruz. It's the stench of allowing the police department to destroy the only weak but beginning to turn and look at issues, citizen oversight review, as they did a month ago with the Citizens Police Review Board, and then beginning to hold secret meetings. Emily Riley has admitted she's holding secret meetings of the City Council subcommittee. They make these committees ad hoc. That is to say, they generate them for less than 6 months, so they don't have to put out agendas, and they don't have to give the minutes to these meetings. And then they give you little reports afterward as to what happened if you press hard enough. And I'm going to try to find that report on the last so-called Riley Ad Hoc Advisory Financial Committee, which sounds kind of, you know, technical and innocuous and arcane and all that, but it actually is the committee that was told to set up a replacement for the Citizens Police Review Board, and it was told it was going to take some kind of public testimony, but of course it isn't, because Scott Kennedy and Mark Premack are involved in it. And it also is supposed to be dealing with the issues. Kennedy and Premack, I'm sorry, are dealing with the issues around exemption zones for political tablers downtown. That we are waiting to hear what zones people can table in without being criminals. We have actually been, as I said, the entire peace vigil has been engaging in criminal behavior for the last 48 hours. At the minute that didn't start moving every hour, it became a criminal. So, and that's true for every political table, everywhere in town, on every public sidewalk. And Kennedy and Premack were supposed to come up with so-called exemption zones, which were found to be 6 months ago to be an impossibility, or a bad choice, at least, according to the Downtown Commission, which the City Council sent these issues to, its own appointed body, because it would mean that all the tablers would collect in front of, you know, a few businesses, which would, A, crowd out the tablers, and, B, cause the businesses to tear out their hair. So instead of people dispersing naturally and setting up their tables where they will, which is what they've done traditionally, you have this repression, this Ashcroftian legislation in progressive Santa Cruz. You have this anti-homeless legislation. That's really what it is. They don't want it. They don't care about the political tablers. But in order to get homeless people with little cups, essentially to zone them out of the downtown in Santa Cruz, they have to go after tablers and musicians too, because otherwise they're unconstitutional in what they do. So in order to repress one group, they have to repress all groups. Of course, the answer is you don't need to repress any groups. You need to establish sets of voluntary guidelines. You need to start addressing the real problems downtown and the real problems in the entire town, which the City Council refuses to do. Again, I'm talking about an upcoming Tuesday City Council meeting, and I'm mentioning the fact that the mayor and vice mayor have been holding secret meetings of their ad hoc advisory committee. Even when people have been asked to be told when these meetings are, they are not. People, these meetings are being, the last secret meeting I heard about was, and that was after the fact, by Riley, because I asked her deliberately and loudly in a recess before the City Council meeting last 2 weeks ago from this upcoming Tuesday. She held it on the same day that she had the council meeting, but she didn't bother to inform the people who asked her to be informed about when this public meeting was held. These are city officials, and they're engaging in secret activity that's closed to the public. And they're trying to use the law. They're trying to skirt the law to do this. This is, of course, what city officials will do. It's no surprise, but we have to know about it, and we have to stop it. And in these days, as we rage at Bush, as we rage at Cheney, as we rage at Governor Davis, the same progressives that are allowing this, who have the same rage against these distant political figures, will not do diddly shit with respect to Emily Riley and the city council downtown. This is the council that canceled the town hall meeting on March 19th because it doesn't feel the war apparently is an important enough issue to bring it up. They will not voice a word of criticism against Representative Farr, who is continuing to has no apologies for his vote for the biggest military appropriation in history last fall on the same day that he joined to say, I oppose the force against Iraq, but here are the weapons. Go for it, guys. And his lame excuse, oh, well, this isn't really an appropriation for Iraq. What do you think they're funding those troops over there on, Sam? The troops are getting paid through your appropriation vote last October. That's where they're getting paid. This was, and all these issues were brought up at the town hall meeting at the Del Mar, including a demand that the president be impeached and that the city council support that impeachment and that Farr support that impeachment, including demands that there be a war sanctuary declared in the city so that people who resist the war could come here. In other words, stepping up the cost of this war and encouraging other cities to do the same. Emily Riley wouldn't even put that on the agenda the next week when she considered suggestions. And you're about to hear that now. I'm going to play for you now the city council's very, very badly attended, because everybody knew that Riley was going to sell out on this issue and the entire council, including our great Resource Center for Nonviolence. I will fly to Washington and meet with Cities for Peace activist Scott Kennedy and not introduce a single resolution that came out of the Farr town hall meeting other than a lame proposal that the state legislators condemn the war, and that they support a three-month-old letter from the Congress to the president. I'm going to play that now, and if anybody wants to call in, feel free to do so, 427-3772. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm Robert Norse. I'll be with you till 1 o'clock, and the vigil will be with you as long as you keep it going down on Cooper and Pacific. Go on down there, help them out, bring some food, bring some coffee, bring yourself, and give us a call and let us know what you think about all this.
Administrative business. Number 20 is a request to state legislators to sponsor a resolution urging the president not to initiate a preemptive war with Iraq and urging a peaceful diplomatic resolution built on international support. This item was brought to the council by me, Cynthia Matthews, and Mike Rotkin. It was suggested by one of the cards that was submitted at the town hall meeting the other night. It was submitted by Celia Scott. I thought that as part of, I guess, an extemporaneous staff report, I'd like to also read from an email that we received from Celia and Peter Scott that says, recommending, thanking us for putting us on the agenda and urging us to vote for it, but adding, we would suggest a letter requesting similar action be sent immediately to each one of the 18 California communities who have passed resolutions opposing preemptive war with Iraq, and then they list the 18 cities. So I thought I'd mention that as part of our discussion on this item this evening. Any comments, questions? Motion?
I will then happily go ahead and move the recommendation before us, which is, as you mentioned, a continuation of issues brought up at our recent town hall meeting.
Second. May I ask, are we going to take any public comment on this, or do we consider the town meeting to be the public comment, or what's the story?
I'd be happy to entertain public comment. Thank you for reminding me. Do you want to speak to this item?
Yes. Excuse
Let's
me,
say
may I interrupt?
Minutes.
May I interrupt? Are we just looking at a specific aspect of the package that was presented, the Brown Kind letter or the House resolution? Or
I think I asked to have those included just as information so we would know the form of what the resolutions of other states have taken are. But the only thing before us this evening is to ask to the mayor to write a letter to our state legislators asking them to encourage
introduce
California to do this.
To introduce the House the House Resolution 2. Is that what we're talking about?
No, that's a different one.
It's a different one.
It's our green folders. The report is in the green folders.
Item 20. Confused man is council number Fitzmaurice.
I thought that 20. was a...
about, I'm sorry to appear, if you'll just forgive me for just a moment. There are two things, and I believe, I think that what you're referring to, Tim, is the first bullet in number 21.
Okay.
So this evening, this item is just to ask me to write a letter to our state legislators.
And there's no sample letter or anything. I'm not looking for, am I looking for something?
There's not a sample letter. There are some samples of resolutions that have been passed by other states, which is different.
It's general in its direction.
Right. It's just giving us direction. And then, in addition, if we want to do it, also send a copy of that letter to other cities in California, urging them to write to their legislators as well. Does that... Was that even further confusing, or did I?
Well, I've got the report now.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Roselius,
did you say
2 minutes, please.
So what I'm addressing is that the resolution urging President Bush.
Before we hear David Roselius, who ran for city council last time, and he's a right-wing opponent of the legislation, which is fine. Notice that the time has been cut to 2 minutes. This is even though there are virtually no other items on this agenda this 2 weeks ago. Normal time for discussion of such evening items is 3 minutes. And there were only, five or six people in line to talk. Again, Riley continues the tradition of cutting back speaking time because she realizes that they aren't going to pay any attention to what the people say, and they don't. You'll see that everything that is said is fundamentally ignored by the city council, just as the entire discourse at the town hall meeting was pretty much ignored. They took the weakest thing they could find and addressed it, which is sending a letter to state legislators saying, gee, we wish you did something about the war, too. You know? Additionally, you should remember that Emily Riley promised organizations at this town hall meeting 2 weeks before 5 minutes to speak. I know Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, was promised that time. I have it on tape. At some point in the future, I may play it on the radio. I save those phone messages, Mayor Riley, if you're listening. And if you're listening, we really regret you're not coming into the studio. You've been invited repeatedly to come to this show, and you've refused. To me, that shows that you're not willing to stand up to any kind of close questioning in a forum that you control, where you can have people arrested who disagree with you, or told to leave, or told to shut up, or turn off their mic. Apparently, you know, that's your notion of democracy. But when you're invited into a forum where you have to answer hard questions, like President Bush, like Governor Davis, like the former mayors of Santa Cruz before you, you won't do it. Actually, Crone did come into the studio and was questioned at one point, and Rotkin has done that. I want to give the two of those past mayors credit for doing that. I also want to point out that Mike Rotkin, for the first time in 5 months, has returned a phone call to me. I think it's the first time in 5 months, and that's good. I want to thank you, Mike. He told me that he didn't remember his vote making the sleeping ban a misdemeanor in 1979, and that was a long time ago, but that's what he did. He voted to make it explicitly a misdemeanor. Let's see. If you sleep twice in 48 hours, it's a misdemeanor. Now, that was changed in 1999, sort of, when sleep was made an infraction and not a misdemeanor. So while it's still illegal to do it, every human being has to do at night for 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people, it's no longer a misdemeanor. However, the police are getting around that by misusing the camping ban instead of the sleeping ban, which says if you intend to remain overnight and have gear to that effect, then you are guilty of a $162 crime, which becomes $1,000 and up to a year in jail crime if you do it twice within 24 hours. So the fact is, and that's an interesting point that's been brought up recently by a number of people on the streets, at least two, police are now misusing the camping ban because the sleeping ban is only gives you a $54 infraction ticket, and they want to start waving jail over people's heads. It's kind of strange to wave jail over homeless people's heads. And it's just as that strange to say, we want to get you out of town by giving you a ticket, which will, of course, bring you back to town when the warrant comes due. It's the weirdest thing in the world, but all it is it's police power gone crazy. Just like Bush is police power gone crazy, so the Santa Cruz Police Department has the same problem with the homeless people, with their relationship to homeless people and their relationship to poor people, particularly because the Riley City Council has given them a blank check to do this and is allowing selective enforcement almost explicitly allowing it. There was a resolution against selective enforcement, which the former Citizens Police Review Board, before they axed that, passed. Riley has refused to put it on the agenda week after week, actually violating the spirit of her own city council rules, which require her to put items from commissions on the agenda or to write a letter to back deck to the commission saying why not. Anyway, it's it gets darker and stinkier and more grim every time you look at this city council. And what we're listening to now, for those who just tuned in, is the Santa Cruz City Council's discussion, of it's essentially sort of the ratification, the blah, 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 of a proposal that they cooked up before the council meeting, and they're going to pass, which says, in spite of the fact that the entire community is calling for stronger action, we're going to do weaker action. We won't even talk about any stronger action at the town hall meeting. We won't talk about why we're canceling the next meeting on March 19th at the Civic Auditorium. She just simply mentioned that they were canceling it because there was not an overflow crowd at the town hall meeting downtown at the Del Mar. It was, of course, filled except for 30 seats, according to the fire marshal, 27 seats. I'm going to try to play that tape today, part of that, where the fire marshal and Officer Brandt were demanding I sit down because I was violating fire codes and so forth. And when he actually acknowledges that the place was filled up. And, of course, the crisis has intensified. But Riley has said, we don't need another town hall meeting. We do. We need a town hall meeting every night. But at least we need a town hall meeting every 2 or 3 weeks, as often as we can, to get this issue addressed and to figure out how our city is going to respond to the war and the repression that is sure to follow the outbreak of a war. Again, we're listening to a city council debating a letter to state legislators on the issue, and that's followed by further, some public comment and criticism of what the council is doing.
Initiate a preemptive war. What I would like to see is more
David Celsius talking.
Assertion as the reasons why not to have a preemptive war. It is assumed that the war is not just, it is assumed a lot of things, but as I understand the argument before the United Nations and the argument that President Bush is making and the arguments that Colin Powell are making is that the intent of the war is to remove weapons of mass destruction and probably most likely Saddam Hussein. That I think that that...
Mr. Sully, excuse me, I'm afraid I have to interrupt you.
Sure.
What your comment is... The issue that your comment is to is whether or not we should send a letter to our state legislators asking them to make that resolution.
That's correct.
Not to the form of what, of whether or not we should go to war.
And we're interrupting this... 2 weeks ago, David Celsius' testimony, which you'll notice is interrupted by Emily Riley. They don't care, even if you're left or right, they interrupt you anyway, and they don't allow you to speak and cut you off, even in the 2 minutes you're afforded. But caller, you just called in. What's happening with you?
Oh, well, you know, I had a few comments to make. One, when you brought up NPR about 20 minutes ago, And I thought that was perfect, but you know, Bill O'Reilly on Fox, he says that, you know, they're liberal, they're too liberal. I mean, if they're liberal, I don't know what liberal is. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what does that make Pacifica like? Pacifica's not even on the radar screen, I guess.
Well, the Nazis think the Klan is too liberal. I don't want to tell you what I think about Pacifica.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least they're trying. You know, and with Democracy Now. You know, now we can hear it in this area.
I like Democracy Now.
Yeah, and that's a very, very interesting.
That was the show that Pacifica threw off for.
Oh yeah,
a year, right?
They tried. Well, isn't it back on though now?
Yes, it is.
They tried to throw it off a few years ago.
But I don't know that Pacifica has fundamentally changed in terms of, for example, it's addressing local issues in Berkeley around poor people. I think they're just as pretty much as bad as before. Though, you know, they got some of the good commentators are back, but again, they aren't addressing the local stuff as far as I know. But that,
yeah.
Again, I'm not listening to it regularly. Perhaps you have some good news about Pacifica.
Oh, you know, it's just, I Democracy Now, seeing that and a few other things. But I guess there's a guy, I think he my buddy down in Santa Monica was just listening to him. In fact, I can't think of his name, but he's got his show down there at the Pacifica Outlet in L.A. on Sunday morning, and he, you know, rants and raves. You know, another thing, too, is, and it is on NPR, is Robert Scheer. I mean, he is so sarcastic and so critical of Bush and the whole administration, and I'm surprised they even let him on, you know? I mean, for being on a rather mainstream or to the left of center NPR, if you want to call it that, I really don't think they are. I've seen NPR move farther and farther to the right.
Yeah, I think
time goes on.
I think that, you know, that if you allow a few voices, then you can claim you're being, mm-hmm. you know, liberal or you're being even-handed. I know if you look at today's Sentinel, you'll see Noam Chomsky on the front page of the Insight section,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting. You know, they can say, see, we had Noam Chomsky, and that balances all our nasty editorials supporting Bush and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but of course, Santa Cruz is also an area that's different. It's very liberal on the war, very liberal against the war. But, of course, it's also, there's a lot of feeling against the local, as you've been hearing me talk about, the way the city council is failing to respond to the war. You don't see a word of that, or very little, in the Sentinel.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that you mention that, because about 20 years ago, and I'm not kidding, 20 years ago, I was working over in San Jose area then, and I actually told a colleague at work, who was bringing up, you know, hippie Santa Cruz and so on and so forth. And I said, you know what? Santa Cruz is more redneck than you think. And when I look at Santa Cruz, you know, over the years, more and more people have moved in here, you know, who have jobs either up in the Bay Area or even perhaps here. But, you know, and I live in Aptos, and Aptos to me is rather Republican. And, yeah, you know, overall it seems to have a liberal bent. And so on, and yet, you know, the business community has never struck me as being liberal, especially the old established Santa Cruz businesses, whether they're downtown or not. And I think, you know, when you look at how they want to pressure the city council about how people should be conducting themselves downtown, okay, they've got their point, and then there's the other point about, well, what about just freedom to walk around, freedom to, you know, play music in front of someplace? I mean, you could go to a lot of other places in the United States or in Europe, and you're going to see people brusking, as it's called there, and it does, and Santa Cruz, you know, had a lot of flavor before. I think there is that post-earthquake and, you know, the rebuilding period, and then... And you know, business is down all over. It's not just because there might be some people they deem unsavory walking around or sitting in front. Business is down all over the place. People aren't buying stuff because they're out of work and they don't have money, or they're about to lose their jobs, and so on and so forth. So, you know, the economy is bad all around. It isn't because of some one thing or some group of people. I did want to bring that up, too, because, you know, when I think about homeless people, I think of a movie that I've seen a few times, and that's Grapes of Wrath.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And where they had that camp for...
Illegally camping, I'm sorry.
Well, they had that, but then you had the campground that those...
The government campground.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's none of that anymore. I mean, that went out
in
the
fact,
window.
You know, the government, the New Brighton Beach, of course, is closed for, I guess, renovations, but
mm-hmm.
the other campgrounds like Henry Cowell and so forth, in Santa Cruz County alone,
mm-hmm.
not in the other counties, say that you can only spend 2 weeks per year in a campground. That's not just in the Santa Cruz campground. So if
mm-hmm.
you have spent 2 weeks in someplace else in California, you come to Santa Cruz, they won't let you stay there, even if they have vacancies.
Yeah, and it's just goofy. And, you know, that's the thing. How come back in the 30s there could be government campgrounds for itinerants and migrant workers and so on? And you can't have that now. I mean, back then, the situation economically was even worse. And yet the government found a way to raise enough tax money to have things like that. And it could be just because there were so many people. But, you know, I think... proportionally, there might be as many people like that now as there were then. People that don't have homes, can't afford to live anywhere, really, and, you know, move around. And
it's hard to tell in terms of, you know, the actual. I've never seen a survey, you know, comparing the 30s with now. I think one of the major differences, and I don't have those stats you mentioned, is the upsurge of activity of, you know, militant activity, the rise of the CIO, the rise of the unions,
mm-hmm.
The rise of resistance, and also the very real possibility of revolution that was happening in different countries, such as Germany,
sure.
revolution on the right in this case, but, you know, mass movement revolution,
mm-hmm.
none the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the same. I think that regarding what you've been saying about the downtown, the right to be in public spaces, that's,
yeah.
you know, is something that I'd like to see us reclaim with this vigil. I mean, the vigil is against the war in Iraq and against the war on the poor, and part of that means, for example, mounting the kind of protests that embarrass the city council and pressure the local merchants who got this crazy set of, you know, don't hacky sack, don't blow bubbles,
mm-hmm.
you're not allowed to throw a ball or a frisbee downtown. If you leave your backpack unattended, it's a $162 fine,
mm-hmm.
which have nothing to do with any real problems. Like, I mean, sure, there are real problems like sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
There are real problems like people who are, you know, the occasional abuse and violence that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, that problems with, you know, disputes on, you know, people who don't like to be panhandled. Well, you know, what do I say? This is 2003. You know, and you're not in a gated community, you have the right to be downtown, but you have to be downtown with other people.
Mm-hmm.
If they're abusive to you, if they follow you, if they harass you, that's one thing. If they sit there silently with a sign next to a building and they're not blocking anything,
yeah.
tough shit.
Yeah,
you know?
So what? You know, it's okay.
But Councilmember Kennedy said, nope, we're going to arrest you, and then he and Rotkin and Matthews mm-hmm. passed these laws back in 1994, which have been extended so that now 95% of the sidewalks, not just downtown,
mm-hmm.
not just in business districts, but all over Santa Cruz, you are forbidden to sit
mm-hmm.
down with a sign. Actually, you're forbidden to sit down with a sign anywhere in Santa
mm-hmm.
Cruz.
Yeah.
If you're seeking money. That's actually illegal now.
Yeah, it seems just over the top and unnecessary and, you know, it's so hard to enforce those kinds of laws anyway. I mean, they're done obviously to intimidate people and to see if there's so much intimidation that people might actually stop, and they're not going to stop. And so it's just spinning of wheels and the occasional cop arresting for somebody like that. And then if that person has no money, how are they going to pay the fine anyway? It's totally ridiculous. But, you know, the fact is that we don't have anything like government camps. And even housing for poor people, how much is, I don't know, it seems to me that that's been cut, hasn't it? You know, the money has to go to the military instead. All over the country.
And they're cutting back the schools, for God's sake.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, these 18 and 19-year-old college students are having to drop out because
elementary schools in Santa Cruz. You've probably seen that happening, too, in the front pages.
Yeah, you know, and I wouldn't be able to go to college now if I were 18 or 19. I wouldn't have the money, and I did when I was a kid, because and I went to a private school, and the tuition was low enough then that I could work in the summer and make my tuition. But how is anybody going to make $25,000 or $30,000 in 3 months nowadays? I mean, I could make $2,000, $3,000 in a summer 30 years ago and afford to go to a private school. Now we have people who can't even go to, you know, they can't even afford to go to San Jose State. And they're dropping out because the tuition's so high, and it's going higher and higher. You know, to me, it's like there's an element in this country, and Dick Cheney and all those people are right in there, and they don't want people going to college who are poor and lower middle class. They don't want any of the social mobility because they're up there, and they don't want any, but they want that all for their own kids.
Well, that'll be provided by the private religious schools, you see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, there's going to be that, you know, all these private organizations, faith-based? The faith-based organizations are going to suddenly open land-grant colleges. Yeah, right. I mean, at some point, I think, you know, when you mention about the 30s and how there were social movements going all over the world, these policies, are going to bring that back. Hopefully they are.
Well, the war certainly seems to be producing a
yes.
massive and immediate response. I got to move on pretty quickly, caller,
yeah.
so sum up, if you can.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're on. I'm glad that, you know, obviously somebody on the other side of the fence was listening to you, because the other night somebody pro-Bush came on and ranted and raved. So some other people are listening, not just people who might be, you know, to the left of center. I'm glad you're on the air. It's another voice.
Hey, thank
you. All power to you.
I'm glad you're calling in.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And indeed, feel free to call in. Pro-Bush, anti-Bush, hiding behind a bush. You know, they say behind every bush there's a terrorist, or behind every terrorist there's a bush. I'm not sure. 427-3772 is the phone number here, 427-FRSC. And if you're calling from out of the area, if you're in Germany or Australia, we've gotten calls from those two places, 831, I have on my show, 4831-427-3772, 831-427-3772. Again, we return to the Santa Cruz City Council of, I guess it was, it's late February, in which the City Council, you're hearing public testimony interrupted liberally by Mayor Riley and other council members who apparently they don't have enough time to babble on and on endlessly themselves. Ironically, the babble doesn't produce anything new. It just they just get to preen and show themselves back and forth or act like they're doing something when they're not. I mean, it's a strange phenomenon. They don't limit their commentary to 3 minutes or 5 minutes, as, for example, the House of Representatives does, but they get to limit us and anything we say, and we can't get things on the agenda unless we can get them to put them on the agenda or unless we can round up 3,900 signatures for an initiative. Let's hear more from the City Council meeting and their sellout of the people who are fighting this crazy war, people who want to stop the war in Iraq.
Just in response, and then leave, I'm not making an argument, but what you said is correct, and what I'm saying is that in order for you to pass the resolution, you should identify the reasons why not to go to war.
Okay.
As opposed to a generic, we don't know what it is kind of thing.
I see, I understand.
And that's my main point.
Okay.
Is that there are valid reasons out there, which I accept, and then possibly there are counter reasons that I'm unaware of.
I see. I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
There are only two speakers speaking on this item. I want the community to note, again, the cutting short of the time to 2 minutes, which I think, again, is inappropriate and shows the direction of the council on all matters. The proposed resolution is a good one, but it's an interesting question to write a letter to legislators.
...of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. It's March 9th, 2003. Stay with us.